Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fabulous Fresh Touch with Mary Tisdale Green, host and author of three books, Forgive As You Go, Growing My Faith Garden, and a remix of the first book, Flush, also known as Mrs. Fabulous. Fabulous because that is who she is. Fresh touch because if you touch her life, that's exactly what you're going to get. She is a motivational encourager who cherishes the gifts God has given. She carries out her divine appointment by God as a customer service agent for Jesus, going about servicing the souls of people she meets, if only for a minute, hour, day, month, year, a lifetime, as she enjoys her journey of purpose. And now, here's your host, Mrs. Fabulous.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you to Fabulous, excuse me, Fresh Touch Ministry Broadcast. I am your host, CEO of Fabulous Fresh Touch Ministry, author and motivational encourager, Dr. Mary Tisdale Green, also known as Mrs. Fabulous. I am living my journey of purpose as God has given it to me. And I just love that on today. I love to encourage others, and I have found that that is my niche. Yes, yes, that is my niche. God told me that I am a customer service agent for Him, and my job is to service the souls by encouraging them through His Word. So I am a motivational encourager. I used to say a motivational speaker, but God corrected me. A motivational encourager. And I love my job. Not only is it my job, but it's my passion. And when you can have your passion and do what God has given you to do, ooh, you can't do nothing but win. You are a winner. So that's what I am today. I am a winner on God's program, doing the job that He has given me to do. I'm a practicing believer who practices living the Word of God. I am striving to live God's Word just as He has said it in the roadmap that He has given us to follow. Amen. I practice the God habit so that I don't have to worry about bad habits. Have you ever in... And I used to do this. The enemy don't care how he catch us off or get us off. That's his whole job, is to just do that, to pull us off course. And he used to keep me so guilty, feeling so guilty about everything that I did. If you did this and you did it wrong, and oh, my God, but one day, I heard this scripture over and over again, and that is that God has not, well, He's not given me the spirit of fear, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them that love God and doing according to His purpose. And I kept saying that scripture until it got in me. That just ran out that fear and ran out that whatever that the enemy was trying to do there. And so I am encouraged in the Lord, and I really thank Him for that. I'm so glad that you're here with me today. We have an interesting topic on today to talk about, and I hope your ears are open and your heart is receptive, and that you will be encouraged in His Word on today, to allow God, allow the Word to get rid of some of the isms and schisms that we have that's in the body of Christ, because we all are striving to make it home, to make it home, because this is not our home. This is just the dressing room. That's all it is, the dressing room. And all of us are trying to get home. And so for those that know the way and do it, so all of us going to get a spanking if we don't do it right. He said for those that know the way, you know, we're going to get a few strikes, but those that don't know the way, you know, so it's everybody. Nobody is left out. Everybody has a job to do on God's program, and it's up to us to get it done, to get it done. So we're talking today about disobeying God can cost your life, naturally and spiritually. Who wants to die twice? Die twice. Who wants to do that? Nobody. Nobody wants to die twice. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we will get into this topic on today. Disobeying God can cost your life, naturally and spiritually. Amen. So bring your minds in and get it in your mind what you want God to do for you on today. What do you need from God? Because he said we can tell him what we want. We can call him up and we can tell God what we want. He's never too busy. He's never too busy. He's always listening. And he says that he listened to perform his word. So whatever that need is today, we are going to believe God for it. For he for he says in his word that he will do just that. And he also says over in Mark, and that's one of my favorite scriptures, in Mark 11, 23, first of all, that we can speak to the mountain, and that mountain will have to move. So whatever that mountain is in your life, that mountain of debt, that mountain, your health, your healing, whatever the mountain is in your life, God said that we can speak to it and in our heart that it will come to pass. He will bring it to pass. And the 24th verse, he says, therefore, I say unto you that what things soever ye desire. Ooh, he didn't say won't. He said desire. Whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray. We're getting ready to pray. We're getting ready to pray. So whatsoever thing you desire of the Lord, we're getting ready to pray. He said, believe that you receive it and you will have it. Oh, don't we make that too hard? We're getting ready to pray. So whatever that desire, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe and receive. All right? Most gracious Father on today, we sure do thank you. And Lord, we magnify you for who you are in our lives on today, God. You are great and you're worthy, God, of every one of our praises. And we give them to you. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, God. In the name of Jesus, every area of our lives today, God, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that you are moving the mountains right now. We're talking to you. We're talking to you, God, about those mountains in our lives, God. That mountain of debt, God. That mountain of sickness, God. That mountain, God, we're speaking to it. And you said that if we would, while we prayed, if we believed, no matter what the mountain is, God, you said, God, in your word, that we shall have what we ask. And we thank you for it right now, God, for being a mountain mover in our lives, God. And we thank you for it. We are magnifying you for it right now, God. And this is the confidence that we have in you, God, that if we ask anything according to your word, that you hear us, God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And that's over in 1 John 5:14. And then 15 says, and if we know that you hear us, if we know that you hear us, then whatsoever we have asked, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of you. Oh, thank you for it right now, God. Thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for going into the hospital zone today, into the nursing homes, God, touching your people right there, God. In the name of Jesus, healing, saving, delivering, setting free in the name of Jesus from depression, from whatever the sickness may be. Heal minds on today, God. We're thanking you for them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you for ways made, God, for money coming, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You know our address, God, in the name of Jesus. We don't even have to tell you, for you already know, God. Thank you for blessings, oh God. Thank you for joy, our renewed strength, God, in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the rain, God, that you are raining in our lives, God. And then, Father, we thank you for manifestation, for we believe it, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's already done. And we thank you for that. Nobody like you today. And we magnify you for who you are, God, in the name of Jesus. Thanking you for blessing my honey with another birthday, God. Thank you for that, Lord. Nobody but you. You are good to us, God. And help us, Lord, that we continue to praise and magnify you, God. Give us how to pray, Lord. Teach us how to pray, God, for the things that we owe, God, in the name of Jesus. Pray to your will, God. We're saying yes to it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today, God, for all things being just as well as they are. We thank you for our children. We ask that you would go into the schools and bless their God. Touch our children's minds, God. Regulate those minds, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now, God. Continue to anoint our homes, God. Thank you for this anointed show, Lord Jesus. We plead your blood, God, over our families, God. Thank you for our pastors, God, our bishops, Lord, our elders, our ministers, our missionaries, and our mothers, God, and the lay members, God. We thank you for them all, God. Continue to bless, God, in the name of Jesus. It's our prayer. It's our request on today. And help us to be obedient to you, God, in the name of Jesus, so that we don't have to die twice, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just magnify you for it right now. And, Lord, you said if we would acknowledge you in all of our ways and our doings, that you would direct us. And we thank you right now for direction. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. We thank God for prayer on today. For prayer is always, always in order. Scripture said man ought to always pray and never faint. Never faint, and it's no time for fainting, but it's time to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, for the enemy is looking for that one that has slipped and just beaten themselves up. He's looking for you. He's searching. He's walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But we have got to dress in the word of the Lord, and we've got to do it daily, daily. How do we know? We don't know when the Lord wants to drop a blessing in our lives, and we're just not ready. You know, that may ward it off, but I don't want none of his blessings warded off. I am open to receiving and expecting. Yes, I am. I'm expecting the blessings, the promises of the Lord. What did he say? When we pray, whatsoever things, whatsoever it is, he said, believe. Believe when we pray. Believe it and receive it. So we thank God for that on today. And we thank God for how he's blessed me to write several books. And I have one that I'm yet working on. And I thank God for that. And I'm just grateful to God. I'm just grateful of him being in my life. And so, and I am just working on filling up the more. He said there's many refills, many. And I'm encouraged in that on today. So today we are talking about disobeying God can cost your life naturally and spiritually. Yes, yes. I was looking at that. The Lord had put a scripture, not a scripture, but a story on my heart. And I went and searched it out, find it, and I found it. And that's one of the ones that I'm going to talk to you about today. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever sit down and counted up the cost of living a holy life? Have you ever thought about that? When I read that scripture, I said, well, no, I really have not. I really had not sit down and counted up the cost of what it was going to cost me to live this holy life, what I was going to have to quit doing, what I was going to have to give up, what I was going to have to do. I never, never had thought about that when I got saved. All I was thinking about was what God was doing on the inside of me. So I never thought about that. But have you counted up the cost of living a disobedient life? Or are you being disobedient to God? Are you doing things that God is displeased with, that he told you in the word that we should not do as believers? Are you living that disobedient life? You know what it is, what you're doing. Nobody can judge you. Nobody has to. The word judges you. So if you are being disobedient to God's word and you are a believer, you already know that it's wrong. Have you counted up the cost of living life? Well, we were just talking about that, you know, the other day. And, you know, our children, when they turn 18, they so feel that they are grown. And they ready for life, got it all together, but have not really considered the cost, what it's going to cost them. They're going to have to get a job. They're going to have to pay bills. They're going to have to, if they want their own apartment, they're going to have money for that. If they want a car, they're going to have money for that car. Then the car costs, because there's insurance, there's maintenance, it's just cost. Have we considered these things? But disobeying God can cost your life naturally and spiritually. The experience we go through when we disobey God are all part of the cost of disobedience. As servants and as believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are all to be obedient to his word. When we disobey, there is cost involved. There's cost involved. Don't think you're just going to disobey. You're going to do whatever you do and there's no consequence. There are consequences to our actions. Everything, good or bad, there is consequences to our actions. But it's worse when we disobey what God has given us. Yes, God will always reach down in love and completely forgive us and bring us back into his fellowship. But consequences always follow sin. Part of the cost of disobedience is separation. Disobedience results in broken fellowship with the Lord. Have you ever experienced that? In a relationship, have you experienced separation? Well, disobedience results in broken fellowship with the Lord. All that is, to me, that is a bad place to be, a bad feeling. Oh, my goodness, I was a backslider, and I did, I left the Lord. I disobeyed him, and it broke fellowship with us. And, oh, my goodness, it looked like everything that could come my way wrong did. Others' lives are in danger. We don't realize how that because of us, others can come to God, but because we leave God, that can also run others away, you know, from God, and they may never come back. And I know with my husband, when I backslid, the Lord gave me that he was holding me responsible to bring him back to him. Oh, my God, the day that my husband got saved, I was so happy. God brought that back to memory. And you do know that he brings back things to your remembrance that you forgot all about. So he brought it back to my remembrance, what he had given me. And, oh, you talking about a happy, happy, glad person. I was so glad that he came in to the Lord and that God had forgiven me for that, But this is one of the things that disobedience can do to us. Disobedience brings a wide variety of horrible consequences, such as spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental consequences. Disobedience can inflict so much emotional pain on us to the extent that we become a slave to bitterness. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen so many ugly Christians? Yes. I can't call them saints. I can't call them saints because they're not. But Christians, bitter Christians, they become slaves because this is what we do. We disobey God. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. We can't walk around angry all the time. We can't walk around in unforgiveness and so forth and so on. And mental consequences have to do with the fact that sin burdens the conscience of men. It corrupts and it cripples people's judgment. It has a strong hold on the memory and batters the free will. Consequently, there's no genuine peace for those who are living in sin, no matter what they may say. There is consequences for disobeying God, and it can cost your life naturally and spiritually. You say naturally, well, all of us going to die. All of us going to leave here. So that's a natural death. But to die again when the judgment, well, I mean to die spiritually so, to be spiritually dead and then die a natural death, you've lost twice. You have lost twice. Well, my characters in today's lesson, and I wanted to share that scripture, the scripture with you, but I want you to go and read it for yourself, and that is my three characters. One is Jacob, not Jacob, but Joshua, and we know the story of how Joshua disobeyed God. He did not want those people to live. Look what it would have. He was running from God, and he was upset with God because he didn't want God to forgive those people. Ain't that just selfish of us that we would want God to not to forgive somebody? So read that over in Jonah, 1 and through the 4th chapter. Read that about him. And then read in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, how that Adam and Eve disobeyed and the consequences they dearly paid. They got kicked out of the garden. Oh, my goodness. Kicked out because they disobeyed God. And they got kicked out of paradise. Oh, my God, to have it made, to be on the right track. And then because of disobedience, to get kicked out of the garden. And now you got to fend for yourself. You got to have agony, pain, and childbirth. So go over there and read that. And then my last character was a young prophet over in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, whom God had sent. He had sent him to prophesy to the altar and to the king Jeroboam. He had sent him to prophesy because, you know, over in Bethel, that city was wicked. And Jeroboam was setting up prophets, his own self. He didn't care who they were. He was just setting up the prophets. And so God had sent this young prophet to go there and prophesy and tell him that Josiah, 8-year-old king, was going to be king. And so the Lord had given him specific instructions. All three of these, he gave him specific instructions, just like he do with us. He give us specific instructions of what not to do so that we won't get in that place of disobeying God or being disobedient. So he told this young prophet, he told him, don't eat in that city. Don't drink nothing in that city, and don't go back. Don't come back the same way he left to Judah. And so he had left and was sitting on the tree. The young men heard him telling the king this and went back and told their daddy, who was an old prophet. And this old prophet went out and found him, caught up with him, and asked him to come back to his house and eat and drink. And he told him what the Lord had said. Ain't that how we do? So many times God tells us, we tell people what God said. And then the old prophet told him, said, well, the angel of the Lord told me to tell you it's all right. You better, if God told you specifically not to do a thing, you better ask him if it's all right. You better ask him, because you know that people lie. And that's exactly what this lying prophet did. So the young man went on back to the house with him, ate, drank, and was merry. And when he got through eating, the old prophet told him, said, now, the Lord told me to tell you that you are going to die because you disobeyed him. And not only that, but you will not be even get back to your city. Ain't that something? And so the young man stepped out the door and back, going back, head toward the Judah. And a lion attacked him and killed him, and left his carcasses. And that old prophet went out and got his carcasses and buried him in his grave. And then told his sons to bury him in that same grave with them, because he knew what he had did was wrong. It kind of makes you wonder, what's worse, to lie or to disobey God? They both are wrong, but you pay dearly. You pay dearly for disobeying God. The good news is that God certainly admires when a sinner is honest with himself or by willing to acknowledge his sinfulness by confessing his sins to him. Nothing pleases and glorifies God more than when a sinner comes to him with a broken and a contrite heart concerning his sinfulness. If you have disobeyed the Lord in any area of your life, repent and confess this sin now. Our Heavenly Father will always forgive and restore us completely, as he did with Jonah and the rest of them. So let this be and God can cause your life naturally and spiritually. All right, till the next time, you be encouraged. Dr. Mary Tisdale Green saying bye-bye.